are back again for the second time on our hiatus. We are the Multimedia Men and Women podcast. This is podcast episode number 60.
I can't wait till we get to 69. Six,
why?
60.
Why? What's 69?
Because we're 60.
What's 69, Gwen?
I'm 60.
I'm 60.
When you're in love with another person, it's when something that you do to not have children.
It's something that you have children with?
No.
What?
Unless you're Cronus and it springs forth from your head.
You see, the middles are still the same place, but the top.
Yeah.
It's like it's a bit of spider.
Yeah, it's a sight gag that our listeners can't.
We're all getting AARP.
Well, nine more weeks until 69, I guess.
60 was a good.
Maybe our listeners can celebrate.
Yeah.
How can they celebrate with us?
Maybe I'll come back for 69.
Okay.
She's
still in disputes.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Contract negotiations.
That'll probably be our Valentine's Day episode, guys.
So it's a few months away, but this is podcast number 60. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. We're with Adam Conway of the Angelica Film Center. Say hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hi. Hey. How you feeling? Your voice is a little raspy.
My voice is a little raspy.
You sound like Kathleen Turner.
Like Lisa. Yeah.
The babe, of course.
Hi, everybody.
Were you sleep yelling?
I don't know.
Who's that other one? Not Kathy Najimy, but the one that was in Casper with the voice, the really deep voice. What's her name?
Bill Pullman?
No.
Or the guy from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
In Independence Day. Yeah. Oh, what's his name? Damn it. In Death of Smoochie.
Yeah. Harvey Fierstein.
Here you go.
That actually is a much better
version. Mrs. Doubtfire.
I like
that. Sounds a little better.
And we're also with Andrew Conway, local filmmaker and producer here in Dallas. How are you feeling today?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
You know. 60, you start to get a little old.
Yeah.
60, yeah. Well,
start to fall apart a little
bit. Speaking of 60, we have Gwen Reyes here.
I know.
From FreshFiction.com and FreshFiction.tv and the literary expert on WFAA.
Yes. You know what's great is that I'm really glad that I could... The cold weather is really good for my joints as the person who represents
the old people.
Well,
it was coming like two weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Because your joints started acting.
Yep, so I'm here representing the olds.
On our 69th podcast, you will be 69 years old.
Maybe. I'm definitely not going to act out a 69 position, that's for sure. But
yeah, so that won't be our first video podcast.
No.
I mean, isn't that what you just said?
I just said I was going to come watch.
Adam said I was going to participate. Adam and Gotti will do the demonstration.
Yes, Adam and Gotti will do the demonstration.
So Adam...
Adam's like, what?
What am I demonstrating?
Adam just on his iPad showed me a picture of a movie called Thanksgiving with this evil turkey. And this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, 2015.
He has a maester that he used to kill people.
There's actually three of those.
Gobble,
gobble, motherfucker.
That's the log line of the movie. So you know immediately.
Hopefully the turkey is voiced by Samuel Jackson.
Is it directed by Michael Bay? Because it looks like there's an explosion in the background.
I don't know.
Just a mind explosion.
Yeah.
Killer turkey. So to start this podcast number 60 out, since it's Thanksgiving... it's a pubic hair, I think.
I know. That's exactly what I thought. And I was like, well.
That's why she grabbed it.
Here we are now.
60. Here we are. We're that close. Speaking of Thanksgiving, since it's Thanksgiving next week, turkey stuff, let's talk about some of our favorite Thanksgiving-centric movies.
What movies are you thankful for, maybe, instead?
Yeah, because I'm struggling to come up with, like, a Thanksgiving movie. Before
we go to what we're thankful for, what Thanksgiving-centric movies have there been?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is also, you know, Rocky. Rocky's a Thanksgiving movie, right?
Is Rocky a Thanksgiving
movie? Yeah, it's...
I'm trying to remember that.
Home for the Holidays.
No, that was a July 4th movie. Rocky was a July 4th movie. Because it takes place on July 4th because Apollo Creed is definitely July 4th.
They do that for Thanksgiving, I think. well, there's also Dutch, one of my favorites.
Oh, I love Dutch.
Oh, Ed O'Neill and young Ethan Embry.
He was Ethan Randall.
Oh, my goodness.
He is such a babe right now, guys. Like, real talk, whatever that movie is that played at Fantastic Fest where he's like a sad
But then he was also
artist.
Kind of a,
I can't talk
a
about
douche in Walking Dead, though.
Oh, yeah.
He was in The
I was
Guest
like, I just
well.
Can't talk about
He wasn't Girls. Guest for like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
he was so good in The Guest.
Yeah.
You know who's also really hot in The Guest? Dan Stevenson.
Stevens, you mean?
Whatever.
She can't see past his abs.
I really can't. I like get that moment when he turns and he's wearing just the towel, and I'm just like, ha ha ha.
Dan Stevens.
Although his American accent's a little weird.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because they have like weird pauses when he's talking to try to get those words out. Right?
Like, where is Susan? She would be here with
you. Let's not forget her favorite movie, Son-in-Law. with
that is a Thanksgiving movie too.
Remember when he had his little his hungry man?
Yeah.
That's a very young Carla Gugino too.
Oh, yeah, she.
That was a good movie.
That was a long time
ago.
That was a long time ago.
Our favorite actress from Saved by the Bell, Kelly Kapowski.
Oh yeah, she was in that. I haven't seen Son-in-Law. Do you think Son-in-Law is Pauly Shore's best movie?
No,
is it in the
Army now? You know what I was watching last night? Jury Duty. I was watching Jury Duty just last night.
Tia Carrera.
Well, it was probably Pauly Shore's best movie.
Also, you know who's in it? Stanley fucking Tucci was
in
it.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Jury Duty.
Yes,
he's the bad guy.
That's awesome.
I was like, because we watched Thor: The Dark World or whatever last night, and then the dog who was sitting on my lap pushed the remote and turned it to Jury Duty. And then I was like, well, this is what we're watching for the rest of the night.
Isn't Tia Carrera the love interest
of
that too? Yeah.
That's really
But cool. I also
it had all your 90s staples in that movie.
I do really love, what was the other one?
Encino Man.
Encino Man and The Army Now. I like that one too.
But not Thanksgiving movies, but good movies by a great actor.
Yes.
I like Pauly Shore. He's a weirdo, but I've always enjoyed his movies.
So those are the Thanksgiving movies. Now,
what happened to him?
We didn't talk about the one that I was surprised to find out was a Thanksgiving movie.
Which is?
Adam's Family Values.
Yeah.
There's an excellent scene when they go to Wednesday and Pugsley go to camp and they do the whole Thanksgiving Day
massacre.
Play. Yeah.
It was so
awesome. And you know what? I like Adam's Family Values. Just
I like all
that.
Me too.
You know what? I wish, I want to learn the mimushka for real.
Okay.
The dance.
You have time on your hands.
I think it's pretty easy to do. It's only a few steps.
And knives and stuff.
They keep talking about remaking it too, but it hasn't.
Have we recast
it? I think we have recast Adam's Family before.
Yeah. We should do it again though.
We have to look back to see what.
We'll let you know down here.
Okay. So those are some of the Thanksgiving movies, but let's switch to movies we are thankful for that are in our lives.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Gwen, yours
tough.
Is Salo, obviously.
Right? Obviously, it's Salo. If it's not Salo, then it's 2001 A Space Odyssey, which is a movie.
High five.
I fucking hate that movie.
Space Travis.
I high five myself.
It's so terrible.
How do you hate
it? I can't. That movie
you
makes
like
me
Hunger more. Games Mockingjay, but not 2001?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do, 100%.
Cinematic.
I also really love, for real though, movies I'm thankful for, movies that I couldn't live without. I am thankful for Empire Records.
That's incredibly thankful for Ethan Embry.
Full circle. I'm very thankful for Lady and the Tramp, although it's really hard to watch it as an adult because you realize that it's just a movie for slut shaming for children.
He's a rascal, and then they
like sleep together, and she gets arrested and does jail time for him, and has to spend time with all his ex girlfriends and find out what kind of a winner he is. It's terrible.
I mean, he's a winner.
He is.
And then he gets very rich. And there's cat. I hate
those racist cats.
Have you and Cliff done the meatball spaghetti thing from Lady and the Tramp before?
I've been trying to start that as a hashtag, tramping.
Tramping?
And just, people just doing that with all types of food, whatever, wherever you're at.
You just say Lady in the Tramp.
Because we've actually had
we've actually
had Adam and Brian tramp on the show a few times.
Yeah, I was going to say.
With a donut.
With a donut.
Yeah, donuts.
So
we could do it over again.
No.
We have donut holes here. No, Cliff and I have not done that I can think of. I don't really like food play. I like just to eat my food. And I actually don't even want people around when I do it.
Because you eat like George Costanza.
Guys, it's like for real though.
Trifecta.
When you get to like just eat alone in your house by yourself and you're sitting on the couch watching whatever. And you don't even wipe your face. You're like, I just live the best. Like you're eating with like your own delivery vehicle on your stomach. It's
you have your dog hair just to lick your face off.
You gotta keep the lights on.
I love it.
Too.
And then
no
you're just like
on.
Wiping with your wrists. Oh.
So Empire Records and Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, I like those movies.
What about The Conways?
Man.
I love Will Say Anything. I can watch that like every time it's on.
Yeah.
I would imagine you would have said Shawshank, your thing.
Well, Shawshank.
Shawshank.
Yes.
And you, Leon.
That's definitely up there. I would also say I'm thankful for Big, because that's one of
Big
my favorite movies. Tom Hanks is a national treasure. Except for in Bridge of Spies, which we talked about last week.
Yes, we did. I watched The Burbs last night, by the way.
So
and then,
classic.
Of course, you know, Disney movies. Can't go past. Lion King's up there for me. It's
also
like
another one
all-time
that's really
favorite.
Rough.
That and, of course, Oliver Company, which is underrated.
I love Oliver
Company. I have not seen that in a long time.
You know, you got Dodger. You know.
I remember when I saw that movie
Cheech
in the theater.
Tito?
And I still have, remember when McDonald's, they would give out the little ornaments? I have them all still. I put them on the tree every year.
Yeah.
And they still work.
I have actually have a Tito doll somewhere.
That's so cool.
Cheech Marin played at Chihuahua.
And it took forever to, that movie never came out on VHS.
Oh, yeah.
I found a copy of it. I went to London when I was like in sixth grade and I found a copy at Harrods and I begged my mom to buy it for me.
It was like $100.
It was like $100 and it wouldn't work in our VHS tape here, so I didn't get it.
They finally embraced it and they finally came out with an official version from Disney and it's greatness.
Good,
it's
good. Good.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah. I'd probably have to say Army of Darkness.
Yeah. Of course. Oh, well.
You know, that movie changed my life, introduced me to Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
And E.T. maybe.
Jaws.
The second Aliens movie, Aliens, by James Cameron.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is one for me also.
I am thankful that movie because we got Gay Perry out of that movie.
Yeah.
And I think, Val Kilmer said he was doing Top Gun 2. He should do a Gay Perry movie spinoff instead of Top Gun 2.
God, I do not want to see Val Kilmer in Top Gun 2. He is so gross looking.
Well, do you want to see Tom Hanks in Top Gun 2?
What about Real Genius 2? Because
I'd be okay with that
too, guys.
Tom Cruise. We'll play Tom Cruise. We don't have Tom Cruise in it.
We need Tom Cruise. But yeah, I'm thankful for that, for those movies. You know, there's a lot. I'm trying to think of one.
I'm also very thankful for Little Women because that movie,
which version?
All of the versions, but specifically the Winona Ryder version, because that introduced me to one of my favorite genres, which is the 1990s women melodrama. So you had like How to Make an American Quilt, Fried Green Tomatoes, like all these
Steel
movies.
Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
All starring Winona Ryder.
It all did because I would
then
spend.
There's Beetlejuice.
I just watched Beetlejuice again recently. So
yeah,
good.
It holds up.
Thank God.
It does Michael really Keaton. Hold up. And also Michael Keaton is so good looking.
Oh, yeah, I'm thankful for Multiplicity.
Me too. Absolutely.
She touched my pet peeve.
Multiplicity is great.
The copy of a copy.
So on our Facebook page or Twitter page, let us know what movies you are thankful for, and we'll post them and talk about them. Let's move on. I just read that Vin Diesel has, in his production company, is signing on to do more Chronicles of Riddick movies and a TV series.
Yeah. He has a lot of money to do almost anything with. So,
what is he getting paid for movies these days? Because most of them pretty much suck, minus Furious 7.
He's like a producer on
Groots.
He didn't produce Guardians.
No, he didn't.
And what did he get paid for saying one line?
A lot.
I still forget that he did the voice of Groot. Like, I still in my head think it was The Rock.
Because The Rock's in everything.
I love The Rock.
He'll probably be in the next Guardians.
But what do you think? Do you think this is good? Do you think... Well, first off, a TV series of Chronicles of Riddick is probably not going to happen with Vin Diesel. Do you think that would take...
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay. I think
said it's about the bounty hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
In that world.
Chronicles of Riddick is all about Vin Diesel. That's what draws most people to it. Do you think... I mean, it might end up like...
I think it could be like... Limitless on CBS right now, which has done a really good job of staying in the same world, but spinning it off and making
a new
character.
But Cooper was in it, though. Right?
He was in it. He's producing it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean Vin Diesel won't be in the first episode and isn't going to be hands-on with it. So I like that. And they could still have the Riddick world and his character maybe pop in a couple of times, but build it off and have it something else. I think that that's totally doable.
And as far as a feature film, we've had Pitch Black, we've had Chronicles of Riddick, and there was the one recently, right?
Riddick.
Do we need another one? Do
you think this next one, there is one called Furia, and it's about his dead homeworld, I guess.
Yeah, he's supposed to go to his homeworld this time,
yeah,
which we haven't seen before. I mean, these movies make money, despite then sometimes being a bad actor. I still like them.
How much
did
Lots of make? I don't think it really made that much money.
But why are they doing another one then?
Because he can.
So is he pretty much financing all the stuff he wants to do? Because he's a big D&D guy, right? It's come out that he's into Dungeons & Dragons.
He should do a D&D reality show where he gets to play the Dungeons.
I'm sure he's probably tried that.
Diesel D&D.
Triple D.
Oh my gosh, you should go on Tabletop. Do you guys watch Tabletop at all? Will Wheaton.
Geek and Sundry.
Oh, yes.
Will Wheaton is super creepy, but
his beard. His beard does not.
And it's also the way that he delivers words sometimes. I guess the way he speaks is what I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh.
It's just very creepy. Like he seems like the kind of guy who you would go to a restaurant or something and look up and he's staring at you. And you're
not
like,
in a good way.
Just in a way. And you're like, why is that guy staring at me? And you go back to what you're doing and you look up and he's still staring at you.
Well, he was going to be on our show next week, but now that you're saying
it's okay.
Yeah,
I say this all about Will Wheaton all the time. But he has this show on his Geek & Sundry portal called Tabletop where he plays board games. Oh, and yeah. I would like to see Vin Diesel come on Tabletop and do Dungeons and Dragons.
That'd be awesome.
Which would be really cool.
That would be awesome. Really cool.
And by the way, I watch this shit because I have a boyfriend who I love dearly.
There you go. High five. That was a Salo high five.
It's better than you ripping out my eyeballs.
let's move on to another piece of interesting news. They are rebooting the old TV series Lost in Space, and let's talk
they
about
as in Netflix.
Netflix. Netflix is the key ingredient in television now.
I don't know though.
But, hold on. They've got director Neil Marshall to do it. Neil Marshall directed Dog Soldiers.
It's gonna be a gritty remake.
Wait, Dog Soldiers. What else did he direct?
Centurion, a lot of episodes of Game of Thrones.
No, he also did the...
I like Centurion.
Damn it, the one that's like Mad Max.
I just said...
Doomsday.
You're just saying words that don't make sense to me.
Are you making up things, Brian? I don't think...
It wasn't in The Descent. That was Neil Marshall, right? Yeah, The Descent.
Oh, I like The Descent.
Yeah.
Centurion.
Yeah.
I like Centurion, too. Michael Fassbender.
And he directed
so
lots of episodes of Game of Thrones.
Very boy. Very boy.
And 30 Days a Night, wasn't it?
Did he do 30 Days a Night? I think that was a long time ago.
No, it was. I knew it was the other guy.
Okay. But I think, you know, Lost in Space came out a long time ago. It was kind of campy, but, I mean, to get a Lost in Space show now.
Guys,
the Matt LeBlanc version.
Do we not remember the movie? Because it was awful.
William Hurt?
Gary Oldman was the villain in that movie.
Yes, he was.
He played the
They did a bad job, but like with Neil Marshall, and go to Netflix. Netflix, let's talk about Netflix and how amazing they are right now.
Are they? Because, let's look at the example of what they're bringing back from the dead. They brought back Arrested Development, and that season that they did was almost unwatchable. It was unwatchable.
But it was what? No way. It was really good.
They're going to make another one, and hopefully they'll be able to put everybody's schedules together and actually do, like, a true thing.
Yeah.
I am not that excited about the Full House, but I'm going to give it a try. Like, that's fine.
I mean...
There's this promise of the new Gilmore Girls set of movies, which could be interesting if they get everybody on board with it.
They will.
McCarthy is probably not coming back. She's too busy.
Which one?
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. I don't think Melissa McCarthy is going to show up. And it's going to be hard without a Sucky in there.
Yeah. She will show up.
They'll probably kill her off, which would be even worse.
No, she'll show up. She just won't show up very much. She'll show up.
She'll show up on like a...
I don't trust.
She'll be at the coffee shop.
She'll be Skyping. She'll be on a Skype call.
What's the other one they just did? Oh, Wet Hot American Summer, which I should speak about because I don't like the movie and I didn't watch the show.
It was great.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
But, well, but you also have your... What's your argument? All these people who love these shows are getting them again with the cast back. It's really cool.
But they're getting... It's interesting, though, because they're picking up the shows that are popular on Netflix already and redoing them. And I'm going to sneeze. And I'm trying not to. Okay. Maybe.
Come on.
But the original programming is good.
Do it. Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, bless you, my child.
Yeah,
bless
exactly
you.
I know. I'm trying not to sneeze on you.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good now. Sorry. Netflix, right? We're talking about Netflix?
Yeah, we're talking about... I know. Sneezing takes it out of you. No, but Netflix... You have a point where it's like... Why are they bringing this back? Might not be good.
I'm just
unsure. Most shows have been really good.
Well, they save a lot of cult shows too. Like they saved Longmire. Like you know,
not as Netflix. And now Hulu saved the Kylan show too.
Black Mirror is coming back for like 20 episodes now.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. But Black Mirror was never going to not come back. It's just that Netflix is the one that distributes it in America.
Yeah,
it's very popular in England.
But it's producing 20 new episodes.
And the thing, that's good.
Yeah.
And they're doing Netflix is also doing they're rebooting it though, aren't they? They're also doing an American version of Black Mirror.
Possibly.
Yeah. But it's still like, it's cool because we get it in Netflix in America, but it still has to be able to have a global sort of reach because they have to sell it off to other
networks. But all their original series have mostly
been good.
Because
now they're focusing a lot on the original series.
Yeah.
You don't have as much good content other than the original series themselves though.
Yeah, but I mean, with big name, like, what's the Kevin Spacey one, the political one?
House of Cards.
I mean, they got a big name director for that first episode cost $100 million. I mean, it's just crazy how good that was. And I think Lost in Space could be good.
It was like $10
million. Was it $10?
Not $100.
Because, like, it would be stupid if they spent $100 million. That would be the worst thing that Netflix could possibly do. Let's put all of our money into this.
It's done well.
Make half a million, like, a month.
Yeah, there's...
Half a billion, sorry.
I was like, half a million, that's more than that.
But the new show, The Lost in Space, it's it's been so long since we've had an actual TV series of that. And then the movie, it was forgotten. Yeah. It was like people were looking forward to it, but it really didn't do well critically. It probably did well financially.
But this
is a good reboot for it.
It all depends on the tone, though, because I'm hoping for something like Galaxy Quest type, but you're saying if it's Neil Marshall, it's going to be more gritty.
Which is good. That will be good.
But that means that what they always have to do is they have to turn something that used to be sort of light and fun and exciting into grit. It's the same argument we have about superheroes. Like, why can't we have superheroes that aren't upset and angsty all the time?
Because then you get Supergirl, which no one wants to watch.
Well, Marvel is
really
not
well.
As gritty
it's
as
doing really
DC.
Well, though.
It's so bad.
Yeah, I know it's not very good.
So bad.
Marvel is not as gritty as DC. DC
but no,
all
but look at
Batman
look at Daredevil. That's Marvel. Look at Jessica Jones. That's Marvel. And
yeah,
they're both very dark.
That.
But Daredevil is a dark character, and he's awesome. That Daredevil movie or show is great. And even the movie
X Men is dark.
X Men, yeah. I mean, they've been good.
I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying that it's the. That's another thing that you have to be worried about is that the tone may not be there.
Right.
But and also, why does it have to have a property that's already been, especially with Lost in Space? Like, I get it with Wet Hot American Summer and Arrested Development.
Just,
there's still a desire
it's brand
for that.
Recognition,
but
so.
Now it's like we're going to be bringing back this brand of Lost in Space.
It worked with Battlestar Galactica. I think that's what
that's
what
why you have like things that have like, the name of old movies like Teen Wolf, but have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Or like, what's another one?
There are a lot of 70s and 60s properties that are getting renewed right now. Because you were talking about Greatest American Hero. That's coming back.
I'm excited for that.
I'm sure Hogan's Heroes.
I'll watch it. If I watch anything. I wouldn't watch anything. I just am very...
Oh, the new movie Jam that just came out that no one saw?
The Nightmare.
It was nothing like the cartoon.
I was busy that day. Every day that was available, I was busy.
It was like 4 days.
They pulled it after like...
Yeah, they just pulled it, right? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like, we are going to put this in the vault, and it never existed.
Well, just think if Netflix existed 10 years ago, we probably would have had...
It did exist 10 years ago.
It did.
Well, okay, 15 years ago?
It did exist, yeah.
Netflix?
Yeah. Netflix has been around since 1998. I've had a subscription to Netflix since 2002.
So,
the streaming side,
I'm talking about like now, we probably would have had more seasons of Firefly and Freaks and Geeks. I mean, can you imagine?
I would have loved more seasons of Freaks and Geeks. I still would. Netflix, get on that.
Yeah.
But Firefly, no thank you.
What's wrong with Firefly?
Bring them all back. It'd be hilarious.
How do you hate Firefly?
It was still in high school.
I tried twice. I tried when it was actually on because I was a big Joss Whedon fan. And I just, they played it all out of order, so it was a little confusing.
From?
And then, remember when they played it on Fox, it wasn't in order.
Yeah.
And then I took a film class and tried to watch it again because my film professor was like in love with it. And I was like, okay, let's give it another try. And then I couldn't get into it.
But more with the Netflix thing, a lot of movie stars are starting
to watch
their movies out in there, such as Adam Sandler did a six-picture deal.
Netflix didn't start streaming until 2007.
Right.
So that was 10 years. So they were in business 10 years before they started the streaming.
Yeah, it was 2007. Are you sure it wasn't in 2005 or 2006?
Yeah.
Okay.
So do
you think I had it when I was in college still.
Do you think
I was getting DVDs when I was in college, but not.
Do you think more actors will go the Netflix route?
Yes.
Since they don't have to deal with the box office.
Because
they already are.
Netflix is paying them.
Netflix and Hulu. Yeah. They're going to go with Netflix and Hulu.
And
some of them are even going with Crackle. And some of them are going with Amazon because, one, they're getting paid.
Joe Dirtay was on Crackle.
JoJo 2.
We get tons of the actors.
I mean,
there's
the
series.
Art of getting bought. Not, what was it? There's
Aziz Ansari's Masters of None on Netflix right now. And then also, what about with Jim and David?
Bob and David.
Yeah. It was an HBO.
And
I watched a couple of the episodes. Good.
And some of those stuff that's like on Amazon, it looks really good. But Amazon's also really smart about it because they pulled the plug on that. That. Host one or the alien show that was.
Well, they actually have Man in
Chris
High Carter's Castle that's supposed to be really good
it's
that's
beautiful.
Coming out. And
it's
David Gordon Green had a comedy series called
Red Oaks, which
Red
was,
Oaks
was
hilarious.
Actually really hilarious. And it got a little serious towards the end, but yeah.
That's David Gordon Green, though.
Yeah.
He's always going to kind of have a little serious.
He's quirky serious.
Well, with these actors moving strictly to Netflix and not to stretch to the theaters, what do you think is going to be for the theater business and film industry?
Why don't we just have like a movie that Netflix produced that they released in theaters, Beast with No Nation? There's like a policy usually with like theaters that they don't like to release stuff that's VOD, especially all the independent theaters.
They won't commit to it.
Because, they know they're going to lose revenue. So they only have a small window to make that money. So it depends,
What can theaters do to get people to stop watching it at home and watch it up
there?
They can't
do anything.
They can't.
Oh, that's why they're starting to bring back like...
That's why they have a repertory event series, alternative content. Yeah. So it's all sorts of stuff.
Gimmicks like the 3D. I'm sure Oculus is going to start being.
I was going to say it's the gimmicky. It's also the action films. Like those are films. There are certain movies that I would like. I don't really want to see what was this year's Interstellar that came out early. The Martian. Like The Martian is beautiful on a big screen.
Oh yeah,
getting that feeling at home is not going to feel the same.
Yeah.
But then if I watch like a small independent film at home or in the theater, it doesn't like I saw I Smile back in a theater, but then I got the For Your Consideration screener and I had the exact same feeling about that.
You can watch any DePlasma the movie at home; it'd be fine.
Well, are the theaters going to do like a Netflix subscription? Like you pay a certain amount a month and you get whatever movies are in the theater.
No, because each movie is different because you have to do negotiations for each movie with the studio. So you have deals for studios that are all over the place.
So you don't think you can do like $100 a month and they can come see whatever movie they want?
No one would do that. Yeah.
It would have to be. No one would do that. I mean, you'd have to go back to a completely different model because it would have to be something like Netflix is lucky because they own a lot of their properties and they have really they're losing a lot of their licensing deals, but they own a lot of properties, so they can easily do a subscription model. A movie theater can't do that because one, it would be the issue of vertical integration because you can't the movie theater can't own the properties that they're then. Than they're putting out.
Because movies are pretty much buy the license.
That's a big thing.
Also. And like basically, the longer a movie's at the theater, the more money they make. Because you have to work out each deal separately with the box office for the theaters.
Well, you're in the industry. We're all in the industry. Where do you think in 5 years with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, do you think a lot of theater chains will be closing? Do you think it'll get better? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think that they're really getting smart about those event programmings. Yeah. Like if I would love to see something like I love the Fathom events where you pay like $20 and you can watch
the Opera Live.
Yeah, or like I'm dying to see
Cinematic Titanic.
I'm dying to see like Hamilton, which is something I cannot go to New York. You can't get a ticket for that, but I would kill to go to my Angelica Theater and watch it.
Yeah,
like I saw Coriolanus there last year. Well, yeah,
well, that was even like the Paley events live. I would love to see.
Yeah,
that.
The Paley events. Yeah. Do a streaming deal with those.
That'd be great.
I also love like the Angelica does one, but AMC or not AMC Cinemark does where they
National
have
National Theater Live and Met Opera. Yeah,
and they do their they'll do like a Christmas series. So like you pay $25 or $35 and you come every single week and you could watch like one Christmas movie.
All right.
And those are things that are really cool.
I think Netflix is gonna affect cable more than movies.
They're definitely affecting cable more than they affect movies.
Because people are
Fox just announced they're not going to be doing any more ratings. Announcements.
Yeah.
Fox News, not.
No, it's a just Fox.
But no, they're still going to do them, but they're not going to do Live plus 3.
Right.
They're going to only do Live plus 7.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that.
Which is fine. Like, who the hell cares about ratings? Like, I know they care for advertisers, but tell that to your advertisers. Yeah. The general, like, the whole thing, too, of when they pick up a show for a series, they think that that's an advertising market. It's like, oh, well, you can invest in black sales because we picked it up for 2 seasons. If it's a shitty show, it's a shitty show. And I don't care if it's picked up for 2 seasons because now I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to watch it.
And it's also a huge black sales. Anyways, so you can't really.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, you know, when they did, Fox did it too, where they picked up something straight for series. Oh, last year when they did Grace Point, they picked Grace Point up for a full series, and it was like that was a nightmare of a show.
Had a lot of potential.
Should have canceled it. First try.
It's interesting.
Cable's definitely going to be affected the most. I feel it's going to go more to like
broadcast.
It's going to become more like a la carte, where they're going to let you choose what channels you want at a price because that's the only way they're going to be able to compete with Netflix and Amazon and all.
Which makes it hard because like I don't know about you guys, but like I have cable. And I have Amazon, and I have Netflix, and I have Hulu, and I have Acorn. The idea now of having to pay a la carte, like, what is it, CBS wants you to pay for them?
Stars does.
Yes. CBS, ABC,
well, Stars is, I get cable, so it's like Stars is in my cable package. But
I mean, still.
CBS, ABC, HBO is even doing like the $20 version of.
Well, people now were paying $200.
I mean, use you as an example.
2.5 years I have not had cable, and I have, iTunes, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. And back then, I was paying over $200 a month in cable. Now, since all these networks are charging $10 a month, $15 a month,
you're going to be
$200 again.
Might as well get cable and get all the VOD. And
all those Mexican channels you don't watch.
Most people are going to watch 30 channels, not 500.
Yeah. Right. And that's another thing is like discoverability. Like I spend a lot of time watching. I watch Destination America because I love all the ghost shows.
Yeah.
And I watch Investigation Discovery because I like to figure out ways to murder people.
And probably ID. Oh,
yeah, ID. And I watch Bravo. And then I watch maybe – I watch Stars because I'm super into that incest ballet show right now.
Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Flesh and Bone.
And that's – it was really good, actually. Yeah. That's Showtime.
That's what Ash vs. Evil Dead is Stars.
Is this? Oh, that's right.
It is Stars.
That's right. I can't watch
Strike Back Cinemax, which no one.
Which but, I can't get. Nobody gets. I don't get Cinemax. That's the only.
Yeah, I was like, Nick's supposed to be good, but I don't. Yeah,
like, I watched that. Awesome. It's funny because like I have friends too that have different things. Like Cliff has he has Cinemax, but doesn't have Stars, so I can watch all the Cinemax shows at his house, but I can't watch anything Stars related. I have to watch.
Well,
that
it's
my
weird
house.
If you have an HBO subscription, you should have Cinemax because they're the same company now.
I know, but it's but
the
it's
they,
not.
They,
it's so expensive.
Time Warner does it. It's really weird. Like, yeah, they throw. They give you Encore, which.
Like, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
But moving on.
I could talk about this for days.
I know.
This is a really good chat.
Well, we'll still keep on the Netflix thing. However, in the vein of, like, Aziz Ansari's new show. Master of None.
Which I wanted to watch this weekend.
So good.
Is it good?
Everybody's favorite comedic actor, Rob Schneider, is going to get his own show, just like Master of None.
No one's going to watch that, though.
It's called
Hey, you know what,
Really
though?
Rob.
Really, yeah, Really
I
Rob.
I actually, I like Rob Schneider.
I like Rob. That's why I said everybody's favorite comedic actor.
It's over, you know, basically over...
Rob Schneider.
It's his real life, but, you know, over stylized.
Yeah, it's like a Louis. Like, everybody said the same thing about Louis.
The
they're like, ugh.
He had that chance. CBS.
No, but that was a terrible version.
It's so bad.
Rob.
Well, Louis. And I think Aziz Ansari has shades of Louis, but a lot lighter, like lighthearted more than Louis. But I think Rob Schneider, I mean.
But Schneider, he produced, wrote, directed, like, he, like, did everything.
That's good.
That's good. I'm excited. I would look forward to it because I was a little, like, I was okay with Louis. I liked Louis. I haven't gone back in a few years.
Yeah.
But with Master of None, I was like, this has already been done with Louis.
It depends on
who. Everybody loved it.
No, it's really good.
It really depends on the kid casting because the kids make or break sitcoms.
It's true.
So, yeah.
But. We haven't seen Rob Schneider really a whole lot. There was a few years where he was on top.
His daughter is off being a pop star.
It's because of his feud with Adam Sandler.
Is that really a real feud?
Yeah, he's
back with him now.
He wasn't getting paid as much as everyone else in Grown Ups, and Adam's like, we can do without you. And,
but Rob Schneider, he wasn't in it as much as anybody else.
Yeah, because he got cut.
Yeah.
Well, because of the financial disputes.
He was in it a lot in the first movie. Remember him and his daughter?
That's why Gotti isn't back yet.
But he's going to be in Ridiculous 6 now, which is going to be on Netflix in December.
Coffee and Donuts.
Okay. So he's coming back.
And then his show premieres December 1st.
December 1st?
And I think it's only 6 episodes or maybe 8.
Which is usually the Netflix standard right now, 6 to 8 episodes.
But we have, like, you have special guests like David Spade
usually.
And Norm MacDonald will both be in it.
Oh, I love Norm MacDonald.
And it's basically he's talking about how he has like a stalker that's his best friend.
I want a Norm MacDonald version of Louis. Like, he is so sardonic. I love him so much. He is the perfect example
Dirty Work
of
the series.
Don't you remember Norm?
I do remember Norm.
Well, he had that awesome sports show where he did the comedic sports show on Comedy Central for like a season or so.
Yes.
And it was so good, but they canceled it.
His comedy's rough, though. He's really hard if he's not an
ensemble.
For
sure.
Like
I think he's hilarious.
I think he's hilarious, too, but he's the perfect example of a bitter, angry, drunk comedian. Like, he is so mad.
How did he do? He was on
he was a judge for Last Comic Standing.
This season.
Yeah.
He was really awkward in it.
He is very awkward. Yeah. But I think that's an editing problem, and that show is also terrible.
Yeah.
And Anthony Jeselnik tries to be like Norm MacDonald, it doesn't work. He's so creepy.
I'm over him.
Me too. He's a dick.
So we're all in favor for Rob Schneider and his new series.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. I'll watch it.
Do you think Sandler will be in it or any of
Spade
or anything?
I hope not.
No, it's told you, David Spade.
Oh, that's right.
Like
and Norm MacDonald. Yeah.
And do we know Sandler's projects for Netflix?
He's got that racist Western.
Ridiculous 6. I saw the trailer. It actually doesn't look bad. But like,
for
an Adam Sandler movie.
But that was actually kind of created
before. But Grown Ups looked good in the trailer. And that movie was
terrible.
A nightmare.
But you know, as all his, you know, all his cast people are there. You know, Terry Crews I love, so I'll watch it for him.
And that one was actually made before he kind of signed this deal. They just brought it over, right? Universal was like, okay.
And of course you have his go-to guy now, Tyler... Taylor Lautner?
No, yeah, Taylor Lautner. He's in it all.
Bless his heart.
But, you know, let's take a look at Adam Sandler's film stuff. No. I mean, as
I
far as...
Why?
No, as far as, like...
Thanksgiving movie, Jack and Jill.
There you go. Most of Adam Sandler's movies nowadays are universally critically panned by both audiences, but they still
do well.
Pretty much make money.
Yeah.
Yep.
So why the move to Netflix?
It's just another outlet for him to make money.
Yes, he's had a few good movies, though.
Because his movies are family-friendly, and they know they play well.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is they're family-friendly. Because his family, I do enjoy his family-friendly movies. Like, I loved Hotel Transylvania. Yeah. I liked Blended. I also liked the one with Jennifer Aniston.
Just Get Over
just
It.
Go just, with it.
Just Go With It. I really liked that one.
It wasn't bad.
I love Big Daddy still.
So, right.
Big Daddy's very old.
Wedding Singer.
Wedding Singer is really cute. Click. I loved Click.
Yeah.
Click was sad. I cried.
Yeah. Okay, guys. We'll talk
I thought of my dad.
I cried.
Where he's like, fast forward through his dad's life. Oh,
he is so emotionally manipulative because I hated Jack and Jill with every fiber of my being. That's the first time I ever saw a movie where I leaned over to a fellow critic and was like, how much more of this movie do we have? And she says to me, it's only been 30 minutes. And I was like, how are we even in this life?
I cried
at the end of Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
I was very mad about that. That's why I panned it. I don't like being emotionally manipulated like that.
Oh, you really? Wow. That you cried during that movie?
I cried at the end. Because I hated the fact that I had started to believe that even though I knew it was Adam Sandler in drag, I hated that bar scene at the end where everybody makes fun of her and then she just wants to have dinner with her mom. And like, I'm getting upset about it now because I was like, that's just to feel like shit. And he was making a joke about it, but it was so sad to think of this woman who had such little self-esteem and the one person she wanted to spend time with was her mom and her mom wasn't there. And I was just like,
think Gwen just said that her favorite movie is Jack and
Shut
Jill.
Up. No, the favorite
Thanksgiving movie is Jack and Jill. My kids are gonna cry from it.
Fuck you guys. Yeah.
She's a paid film critic. She's on television. Jack and Jill, yep, favorite
right
movie.
Up there.
My goodness.
Yeah.
High five for that.
Al Pacino. What was he doing at the end? Is dancing in a giant coffee cup?
No.
Al Pacino.
God.
Gwen. Cappuccino. Hates 2001 Space Odyssey.
Loves Jack and Jill.
Loves Jack and Jill.
Too enthusiastic about
that. You're right there with my mom because she loved the whole twin gimmick. She's
God.
No, sorry, mom.
Yeah, no, the movie was terrible. I just remember that ending and being so mad. I was so mad that I cried. Like, I was like, fuck this movie.
Fuck this movie. Let's move on to some movies that came out. Let's talk about, I guess, has anybody seen Creed here yet?
No.
All right, I saw Creed. It comes out next week. I'm just going to say that it is definitely the best Rocky movie since Rocky 1.
Really?
It's that good. Michael B. Jordan is excellent.
4?
Yes.
Can you understand Sylvester Stallone?
Absolutely,
in it?
Sylvester. I would not. He's in it through the whole thing. I would not be surprised if Sylvester Stallone got a Best Supporting Actor nomination for it.
Sometimes I really worry about your ability to judge taste.
Yeah.
Go see the movie.
I'm fine with you saying that Creed is good, but you saying that Sylvester Stallone could possibly get a Best Actor nomination, a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
He's been nominated before.
When?
Rocky?
That was a long time ago.
Was he nominated for Best
Actor? You could actually understand what
he
was saying.
Screenplay and director.
In picture. It won all of that.
Yeah.
It won. No, I'm just saying.
If
he's really that good in that.
If he didn't win for Demolition Man, he's never going
to
win.
Yeah. Is his son in it?
Talk to me when he gets.
It's really a Creed Rocky type of movie. But you know, it's
three
really
seashells
good.
For.
They nailed that. Ryan Coogler, who directed Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station, really did an excellent job here.
Oh.
I mean, it is the.
Oh, it's by that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Special on the director?
Okay.
No,
Sylvester Stallone didn't write
or direct it.
Oh, great.
Oh, okay.
It's good. Well, Sylvester Stallone wrote the first one.
Was Octavia Spencer his mom again in this one?
Does he die because of police brutality?
No. There are two other Wire actors in. Because
you know
Creed.
I Black Lives Matter.
That's true. All Wire.
Brian, what's The Wire?
The Wire? It's an HBO show. You would understand
HBO?
It.
What's HBO?
That's the home box office entertainment network.
It's not the CW.
Oh, then I'm not interested.
But it's really
it's
good.
Freeform? Don't care.
I highly recommend Creed. You're really going to like it. I mean, there's parts that you get choked up at. I mean, it's excellent.
I cried this week, too.
Hey, does he win?
I'm not going to tell you.
That's spoiler alert.
Well, I think we talked a little about Mockingjay last week, so we won't talk about that.
No, I want to talk about Mockingjay.
Trumbo. My writer really loved Trumbo, and they think Bryan Cranston might get an Oscar nomination.
Yes.
Oh, he should.
That movie was so good, and it was like 5 hours long.
So Trumbo...
2 hours and 8 minutes.
Trumbo,
and I wanted it to be another 2 hours long. Yeah. It was so good.
So Trumbo, if you've seen the movie The Majestic with Jim Carrey, it's kind of similar...
Nobody's seen that movie.
Well, it's kind of similar where a Hollywood screenwriter supposedly is into the whole communist thing and Hollywood tries to take him down. But the real guy, Trumbo, wrote movies like Spartacus and...
Well, he wrote Roman Holiday, but he couldn't put his name on it. So it's about Dalton Trumbo, who was at the time in the 1940s the most sought-after, highest-paid writer in Hollywood.
Who gets blacklisted.
He gets blacklisted because he's a communist, and he's outspoken about it. And he gets taken to Congress, and they put him in jail. And it goes through his entire time of trying to get his career back. And he never really does, even though he kind of gets people to get on his side. He has to write... He starts, actually, it's very interesting because he starts this whole sort of script writing factory that Andy Warhol and James Patterson later kind of adopted for their own art of getting all of these other blacklisted screenwriters together and secretly writing a whole bunch of trashy B, C list films for the Kong brothers. And it's a really great movie.
So
it was so good.
With Brian, because I haven't seen it yet. My writer really liked it. You know, we all know Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. Yeah. Is it really easy to distinguish him from that to this character?
100%. What I think is what I loved about it too was that after he's done Breaking Bad and after he got to do LBJ on Broadway, now we're going to get to see that LBJ film next year on HBO. He kind of just doesn't give a shit. Like, he is so bold in his acting choices now that you completely forget that he has played Malcolm's dad. He's played Walt White. He played that character, Sandy and Drive.
Yeah.
And he loses himself completely as Trumbo.
And an anti-dictator.
Yeah.
How's John Goodman in Trumbo?
He's good. I mean, he's great in everything.
He's good in everything.
He's good in everything. I mean, he basically is in it for like 10 minutes and yells at people a lot. And I love him.
So go see Trumbo?
Louis C.K. is really good in it too.
Oh, that's right. He is in that.
I thought that the women were a little meh in it, but it was also kind of cool because when he comes back from prison, he starts a family. I can tell I love this movie. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. And he started the family business with his kids of making them run scripts around town. And I loved like the family business aspect of it and like the internal strife within his family of
I just saw something else in Jungle Man that I didn't like. I'm trying to think. He's like a dad.
Coyote Ugly?
No.
Shut up. Coyote Ugly is a masterpiece.
You played a dad.
I'm thankful for that movie.
Roseanne?
Thankful for Adam Garcia every day of my life.
What else came out of the Angelica this week?
We also had the remake of Secret in Their Eyes with... Kawatel Echefor and Julia Roberts.
So, is Julia Roberts awesome in it, or is he still not
good?
She's
going with the no makeup look to get that more gritty look for her.
This is Echefor's first movie since 12 Years a Slave?
He's like in tons of stuff.
Yeah, no, he's done something else.
But is it dark? Is it good?
Roberts
movie?
It's his
and
show.
Nicole
for sure.
Don't forget Nicole Kidman
sure.
also.
Yeah. It's a little weird, you know, and it does have a really good surprise ending that most people will like. But like overall, it's just okay.
Have you seen the original?
I love the original.
Okay, I've never seen the original.
Original is great. It's from Argentina.
That's why you don't like the new one because you saw the original.
But this is like an indie film for her, right?
Technically, because it's made
it's low budget.
Yeah. And it's done by STX Studios, so it's like a new studio in the market.
Okay.
You know what studio I miss? Oscilloscope. Whatever happened to those guys?
An Orion Pictures.
Orion.
Well,
the BC Boys guy.
Yeah, but hadn't he sold it off before he died?
No, he's still.
So it doesn't exist because he died.
It's still there, but it's.
I loved the movies they were putting out.
What else came out? I'm trying to think of what
terrible,
else.
Terrible Angelina Jolie movie with her.
Oh, yeah.
Husband. Oh, by the sea where they just look sad all the time?
Supposedly it was 2 hours of her stretching, yelling, crying.
I heard it
almost
ended
their marriage.
Yeah.
It was almost.
Well, it's about
marriage.
A bad marriage.
Yeah, Brad.
Yeah.
And Jolie wrote, produced, and directed and starred in that movie.
Oh, which is funny because I've liked almost all the movies. Because what has she done? Three
Babel?
Now.
Whoa.
You loved like Hunt was In a Land of Blood and Honey.
No, I liked In a Land of Blood and Honey. I didn't hate
Unbroken?
It. I didn't hate it. I did not watch Unbroken because I didn't care. What was the other one she did?
Babel, wasn't it?
No, she didn't direct Babel.
In Urartu.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. Angelina Jolie, fine, you can be talented. However, why are you trying to be so serious and make these moody movies so much?
Because she's...
What?
The girl... Okay, guys.
She used to be in awesome, fun movies.
She had breast cancer and is going through a lot of
shit.
She did not have breast cancer.
Yeah.
She preemptively took out the...
She had the genetic marker for breast cancer.
Yeah, okay, so she...
Her mom
she
died.
Lost
yeah.
a lot of stuff, and she has emotional things that she's dealing with.
She
and maybe she's got money, and she has kids, and she's got a lot of shit, And so now she's just.
I mean, it's fine that she's trying it.
Maybe
but
she was on her period for a very long time.
But like hackers or Gia or something like that. Why can't she go back?
Because she actually had. Like
yeah,
I know. Got,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something
I know how science works, guys.
Hackers or Gia. Well,
because
fun
she
like
doesn't
that.
Need to do those anymore. She can do whatever she wants to do.
It's just like Tom Hanks always being in like really serious roles. Why can't he go back to something like The Burbs or two? Why can't he do comedy again? You know, why are we... Or Leo DiCaprio. He's always in playing somebody real or something so serious. Minus, you know, kind of Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
But he's playing somebody real. He's not like... I want to see
because
Leo
actors,
in a Judd Apatow movie.
That would be really cool, actually. Because actors... evolve and they want to do different stuff and they when they get to a certain point it's okay. Let's use a good example of Kurt Sutter with Kurt Sutter doing that terrible show that thank God he was smart enough to cancel
Bastard
that,
Execution
which was
Execution.
Fantastic that he took an ad out and
yeah he was
Variety
smart.
Or the Hollywood
but
Reporter
when he
said,
took,
my own
when
show.
He took on that role he was very or took on this show he was very open about how hard it was that FX was not giving him any notes. That gave him complete artistic creativity because he had no boundaries. And I feel like a lot of these actors who have no boundaries are doing these really weird things thinking this is going to be really cool because it's a story they want to tell. But it's not a story that an audience wants to listen to. Like, nobody wants to watch a movie about a marriage falling apart.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds uncomfortable.
That there's not anything to it. Like, there was – I've been hearing that there's really – nothing in the movie that really happens. It's just like a lot of really slow paced grunts and whatever.
It's like when what's his face did Swept Away with Madonna when
yeah,
Guy Ritchie did that,
absolutely.
And that was a nightmare.
You go
and
from
it was
Snatch
just,
to that, and you're just like,
that's
why?
To his wife, though.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. And you know, I'm glad some of the actors are transitioning into directing, but some of them can't do it.
Yeah, no, so I agree. Some of them should just produce.
I think one of them
just be like Vin Diesel and produce. Shut up! I really like her sometimes.
Or direct. Vin Diesel's yeah. trying to direct.
So. And that John Goodman movie I was talking about was Love the Coopers, which came out this
week. Oh, yeah.
So.
Is it funny? Somebody was talking to me the other day that they wanted
it's
to see
totally
it.
It's totally all over the place. It's trying, yeah. It's trying too hard to, you know, make an impact.
It's
the
Christmas
holiday movie, right?
There was one that came out this week also.
The night before.
I want to see
Seth
it so
Rogen
bad.
Just Gordon-Levitt.
It's funny.
And
who's
Mackie, right?
Anthony Mackie. How can you forget his name? He's in everything, like literally.
Well, because it's him and Michael B. Jordan is also in everything.
He was in
Love
the Coopers. Yeah.
So it's a R-rated Seth Rogen, drug-fueled, hilarious movie.
Best part of the movie? Michael Shannon.
He plays the pot dealer.
I love Michael
Shannon.
Always the best part of a movie.
He is so good in it.
So that's a good holiday
movie coming out.
That's what I wanted to go see. I was supposed to see that on Friday with my best friend, and then
Midnight Special.
We didn't go.
So what we have coming up as far as movies that we're going to see soon, we're going to see The Good Dinosaur, new Pixar movie, which is going to be very hard to compete with Inside Out. I don't think it'll be as good.
It looks so sad. I don't want to watch it.
Hopefully it'll be good.
It looks so sad.
We have the Moby Dick movie from Ron Howard.
In the Heart of the Sea.
In the Heart of the Sea.
Which is funny, because you can also watch the same film on Nat Geo, I think. Or Discovery, one of them is doing a mini series based off the same book.
Yeah.
And so, I was like, okay.
But Ron Howard's doing this one, and Ron Howard.
Bleh.
What are you talking about? Most of his movies are pretty memorable. Most of them.
What was his last one?
Rush.
Except for Da Vinci Code.
Rush.
I was making sure you remembered.
Rush.
Rush with Jeffrey Rush.
Daniel Brühl was the best one.
With Jeffrey Rush. Joffrey Rush. we have that one. We have, what else we have?
Oh, you said Victor Frankenstein.
We have
Victor Frankenstein, which looks
Victor Frankenstein. So Victor Frankenstein, we talked about this last week with Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy. Looks like a silly Frankenstein movie, but fine, we'll go for it. And then probably we won't be next week, but the following week we will have seen The Revenant.
Yep.
Which might be in our
and
top
Krampus.
Five movies.
Don't forget Krampus.
Krampus is coming out, which is finally a scary horror Christmas movie.
Yes.
Probably will come
out. We've had some of those before.
But not like recently.
Not like a mainstream.
Rare Exports.
That was several years ago.
I also say not a mainstream.
Do you still have my copy of that?
I might, yeah. Silent Night.
But Dinner. I think we're coming towards the end of the year where, much like the past few years, we've had our top 10 list in our heads, and then the month of December comes out. We're like, God damn it, now we have to.
I don't think this December's been Star Wars,
the Tarantino movie.
I haven't liked anything.
Hateful Eight.
And Revenant. Those are three that
might. Don't forget Point Break.
But here's the thing, like, you go into
the
that.
The best Christmas movie ever, Point Break.
But here's the thing, you go into that thinking that these are going to be the best movies you know, they're going to layer these out. And what happens when Star Wars is shitty? Because we have a history of the fact that the last three were shitty. And then what happens when Revenant is like, oh, well, that was really fun watching Leonardo DiCaprio run around in a woods for 3 hours. Or what happens if it's not Django Unchained?
I'm going to tell you to watch Will Smith in Concussion, and you're like,
ugh. First off, Tarantino has not made a bad movie. J.J. Abrams has not made a bad movie. Secondly, for Star Wars,
J.J. Abrams has absolutely made a bad movie.
What movie did he make that he directed was bad?
That movie with the Super 8. That movie was blue.
I love Super 8. Number one movie of that year. Yeah, that like brought back filmmaking.
Didn't J.J. Abrams also do the second Star Trek?
Yes, which was
terrible.
Star Trek 2 was excellent.
No,
she does have you there.
I don't have me there.
Yes, it was bad. It was the same movie. Darkness. We had the same issues in that one
that we had in
the first one that had already been dealt with in the first movie.
We needed more Khan.
We've talked about this many times.
Yes,
it wasn't a Khan movie. It should have been, but it wasn't.
That is why it was shitty.
It was not shitty.
We already had the relationship between Kirk and Spock in the first movie.
No, it was everybody coming together.
No!
Yes!
Speaking of movies we've already seen, we also have Joy coming out, which is probably going to be like Silver Linings Playbook.
We hope it's like Silver Linings Playbook and not like American Hustle. Because what a nightmare.
So I love American Hustle.
Really?
Yeah.
So Joy
is great.
I like her in it.
Bale is awesome.
Joy is with Jennifer Lawrence, Robert De Niro, same director as all those movies. It looks like the same type of movie. We're hoping it's good. It'll probably be, but...
I like a sassy Jennifer Lawrence. I'm down with that.
She was the best part in American Hustle. Thank God
Science oven.
Thank God. But we got Joy coming out.
It's not going to tell me what I could put in it.
There's one comedy coming out, Daddy's Home with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
There's more than one because you also have Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Is that in December?
Yeah, it comes out the same day as Star Wars.
Good luck.
it's counterprogramming.
It's what everybody's going to go see when they can't get in to see.
It's basically a lot of females probably won't see Star Wars.
Shut up.
I mean, I'm sure they will, but some people.
I'm going at 9:30.
That's Hollywood's thinking.
So same with Kluger over here. Yeah.
Hey.
Ladies don't like space.
They don't understand it.
God, it's not too much science.
I really love the other guys, so I'm like kind of intrigued by Daddy's Home. So.
But it's not the sequel.
And don't forget, for Fifth Family, we have Alvin and Chipmunks. The fourth one. Whoa.
Fourth.
I was just watching.
What's it called?
The Road Chip or something?
Road Chip. Yeah.
Hey, say what you will about Alvin and Chipmunks. Hollywood makes hundreds of millions of dollars.
Come back for the fourth one. Jason Lee.
Yes. Did he?
You know who's not coming back for it? David Cross. Because he was like, I've done enough. You know what? That paid for his mortgage and his wedding. Yeah. So he should not be so mouthy.
Hey, it's the squeak wall.
I liked all of those. Chipwrecked. I was just watching the first one like a couple of days ago.
You shouldn't.
I watch a lot of stuff.
Was it always Jason Lee or was it Breckenmeyer?
No, it was Jason Lee in the first one, and then he didn't come back.
Breckenmeyer
was there for like a second.
Jeremy. No, who is it?
Who was the
guy from Heroes. What's his name? Wasn't that the guy that played his brother?
Zachary Levi.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have tons of good movies to talk about.
So I don't know.
Tons of good movies to talk about coming up. And the critic screenings are pretty much all on the same week.
Yep.
Somewhere on the same day. Yeah, which sucks, but we'll see that. Oh, I want to say before we leave, I did get a chance to see the new Michael Moore documentary, Where to Invade Next, and it was excellent. It was one of my favorites of his. Was he correct, though?
Because we are invading.
They're billing it as trying to call it a film rather than a documentary, because how it starts out is him saying, like, hey, all the top military branches called me into the room, and they're all sitting around. They're like, hey, Michael, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. What can we do? He's like, well, I'll go invade every country by myself, plant an American flag, and take what they do well back to America. It was awesome. Like, one of the scenes was when he went somewhere in Europe, and he was showing all these amazing dishes of food and gourmet stuff. He's like, this is the best place to eat here. The only thing is, it's the elementary school cafeteria.
We'll see. We'll watch it, Brian.
We
might be questioning your taste again. Well,
I like Michael Moore. I like Michael Moore. But yeah,
if you can only see Gwen's face right now, everybody.
She's not having any of that. She's a Tea Party person.
Don't spread those rumors about me. You can tell people I'm old. and other in things. But never say that I'm a conservative.
She likes tea parties, not the.
I do tea love party. Tea parties.
Tea bag parties?
It's the tiny sandwiches.
Those are the tiny sandwiches. It's the snacks. That's what
girls. She likes the snacks.
It's the snacks. So
the macaroons.
Yes. So that's our podcast number 60. It's our Thanksgiving.
I'm really
tradition.
Sad we didn't talk about Mocky J because I finally saw it and I loved it. And it made me cry.
It was the worst. We talked about it last week.
I saw it also.
Did you guys all hate it too?
The three.
I haven't seen the part two.
I hated it. It was so.
I loved it.
It's so.
I thought it was so good. I thought they did a really good job. Well, I read the book.
Did we see the same movie?
We did, but you and I we've never agreed on those films, so it's okay.
Awful.
The
Mockingjay 1 and 2 are absolutely
terrible.
I didn't like how they didn't let her decide who she wanted to be with because they sort of just made that one guy kind of a villain at the very, very end.
Well, that's exactly like how it happened.
They villainized him and they're like, oh.
They didn't need to have
poorly adapted.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it
nothing
wasn't.
Happened.
Did you read the books?
No.
But then it wasn't poorly adapted.
Mockingjay 1 and 2.
Go read the books first.
Yeah, it wasn't poorly adapted.
2.5 hour films. Nothing happened. The only thing that
the first one should not have
happened in the second one was when they were in the sewers and the monsters from the descent came out.
Just
that
like
when Finnick died, that was the one moment where I was like,
oh my god, no, when it's at the end and she's back in District 12.
Spoiler alert, guys.
When she's at District 12 and she's sitting in her the kitchen and she sees her sister's cat and she starts crying and I'm just like,
I almost lost it. I was like, how the fuck did this cat get back here?
Yeah.
It was in District 13. I was like, I want to see that movie.
Is that
the journey of the cat from 13 to 12.
Because District 13 is actually pretty close to District 12.
Yeah, I figured, but still. Like,
which is something they talk about in the book and they don't talk about in the film.
You know,
and that was the only emotion in that entire movie.
But
was
that's
her
okay.
yelling at it. No, it's not. It was
that's
awful.
That's okay. That movie was an action film. That movie was about fighting and war. There's not.
There was no action in that movie at all. It was so bad.
I thought it was good.
And then the editing was terrible because the climax, which was no climax of storming the Capitol, you cut to black and you see fucking Kiefer Sutherland's dad tending to his lilies. And that was it.
They were roses.
They were white roses.
Whatever.
They masked the scent of decay in his mouth because he is dying.
Because
he's like 100 years old.
It was
horrible.
Well, because he didn't drink a lot of poison. That's what it was.
Don't
because of the poison.
Yeah.
Rewatch Catching Fire. Do not watch Mockingjay.
I think they're all good. I was really sad. Speaking of counter programming that movie theaters could do, I was really sad that no theater had all four of them available.
Nobody
they only did the part two. I know, and that's sad because I did the Harry Potter marathon. I did the Twilight marathon.
Are you doing the Star Wars marathon?
I will probably not do the Star Wars marathon because I cannot make myself sit through Phantom Menace.
But you can do the Alvin and Chipmunks marathon.
I would probably do the Alvin and Chipmunks marathon. But I was sad there was no. I was sad there was no Mocky or no Hunger Games because I would have liked to see that, and I'm sure there would have been at least a small theater full of people like me.
Meh.
Yeah, it's okay. It's going to make $102 million, so suck it.
Well, unfortunately,
the digital Philip Seymour Hoffman was pretty
awful.
Awful, too.
Right?
Yeah, I was like,
he's like, hello everybody. Like, nobody can see me, but I'm waving very awkwardly.
They do close-ups on his face.
Well, a periscope camera. Can't
you? Yeah,
can't you see the close-up from like earlier in the movie? It's like he's had like definitely digital. Like, oh.
Yeah,
and then the whole thing. I'm guessing like the whole scene with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, he was supposed to. He was supposed to be him.
Because that was a little
weird.
I got this letter I got to read to you.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's why they added more of Elizabeth Banks's character. That's why they added more Effie Trinket into the film, into the first part, because he died, and all the things that she doesn't actually come back until the end when she is going out to kill Snow.
Okay.
She doesn't come back at all, but they had to. They had to go back and do post.
Because does he know that the president's bad. Oh, what was?
Yeah. Oh, he knows.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Don't go see Mockingjay Part 2.
You can see it. It's not.
You can see it. It's like,
don't go see it. It's terrible. And that is our podcast number 60. Happy Thanksgiving. Find us on Facebook.
Woo! I'm thankful for these gentlemen right here.
Oh, I'm thankful for everybody
at
the Multimedia Men and Women podcast. We will be back possibly
next
week. We will try.
It's always up to Brian's schedule. We all have to work around Brian.
Try. Hey, I was giving you a week off. You want to come and work on a holiday weekend?
Yeah, why not?
Maybe.
It's
how about this?
Weekend.
We'll come back. Everybody's going to have to bring snacks from their leftover Thanksgivings. We'll talk about the snacking and food. And maybe we'll do a drinking contest.
Hey, we should do our favorite food scenes in movies.
I think we've done that before, but we'll redo it.
Have we?
Yes. We've done 60 episodes.
God.
I don't know if we have aged.
I don't think we've done our favorite food segment. We should do a favorite food segment again.
Let's do it.
I wrote some into a screenplay I wrote, which is funny.
Let's do it. Awesome.
love it.
Okay, well, that's our show, guys.
That wraps it up.
We're just rambling now.
Okay, bye.
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 Bye.